Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-Powered Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for you who love Him. Ah, this warm weather is just so wonderful to walk out of your house in the middle of the day now and feel that warm weather. The promise of spring, isn't that wonderful when you can realize that there is something ahead, something wonderful ahead, and it's for you. March is a real transitional month. It always has been. It can start stormy, be warm, and then storm again. And we're having wonderful weather right now, but I know it's going to get cold on this weekend. So I have friends. I have 12 friends who have birthdays in the month of March. Yeah. So I had to go and get a whole huge stack of cards the other day for my friends who are having birthdays in March. Wow. Lots of wonderful birthdays in March. Oh, you are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. In Him, my friend, you live and move and have your being. What a wonderful time to be alive and to have Jesus Christ in your life. I was just, it was really interesting this morning. One song got me off onto the Jesus Revolution. So if you have a computer, then you're going from one YouTube performance to another. I got into Chuck Smith's church, and at one point he had love songs singing in his church in 1971. I remember them. And then Honey Tree. And my father had the Bible Book House in Greeley, Colorado. And so guess who was in charge of the music? Moi. Yes. And I had all these wonderful, wonderful albums that were coming out at that time. Had such a great time this morning just listening to so many different groups. And I have a brand new group I'm going to have you listen to today. And it's nothing like the 70s music, but oh, it is so good. I'm glad that God appreciates all kinds of music, all kinds of people. He has a variety of people that He loves, friends, and you are one of them. You are one of them. And it's so good to be able to tell you what is going on in this country. I did get an email from ACLJ. This is Jay Sekulow's website, and it's, how well do you know your rights as an American citizen? I'm going to give you five examples, and you can tell me whether it's true or false. Number one, Jody is a 7-year-old student. She brings her Bible to school and reads it at lunchtime, sharing her favorite stories with her friends. Her teacher takes her Bible and threatens punishment. Jody is violating the separation of church and state. Is that true or false? Is Jody violating the separation of church and state? True or false? Well, that's false, of course. Separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. It is found in the writings of Thomas Jefferson to ensure that religious beliefs, private and organized, are removed from attempted government control. He didn't want the government to have any control over your beliefs and over my beliefs. Boy, this administration is really breaking those rules. And this is the reason why the government cannot tell either you or your church what to believe or to teach. Second, it ensures that the government does not get involved with enforcing, mandating, or promoting particular religious doctrines, even including belief in any gods. The authors of the Constitution wanted to prevent this from happening. So you see that as the churches were forced to close, we shouldn't have been forced to close. Churches should have gotten together en masse and just said, no, we're not going to quit having church on Sunday because of this pandemic, because of this threat, because of this fear that is engulfing this earth. And so your First Amendment right is to be able to read your Bible whenever, whenever. Number two, Chris has repeatedly requested accommodation from his employer to attend Sunday church services. Chris's employer has made no effort to comply with that request. Chris feels he has a constitutional right and a legal right to make this request. Is that true or false? That's true. If you want to go to church on Sunday, you can ask that of your employer and have him give you that request for Sunday services or whenever you have your church services. That is a First Amendment right. Wow, thank you, Jay Sekulow. Number three, your Sunday school class or small group Bible study can legally hand out religious tracts in a public park. True, that's true. You have all that freedom to do whatever you want to in the public parks. And number four, Becca is a ninth grader attending public school. Remember, public schools are funded with taxpayers' money. Yes, sir. One third of my property tax is for school funding of my personal. So if you add up all the people who own homes and one third of their property taxes are given to schools, you know the billions of dollars that are given to school funding. Well, Becca, who's a ninth grader, has been told by school administrators that she cannot share the Christmas story. The reasoning that public schools need to keep students from expressing their religious convictions based on the Establishment Clause that was instituted in 1962, along with no more prayer in school. Remember that dreadful year? Wow. She can share the Christmas story with support from her parents. We must stand up for our school children. Yes, she can. She can share that Christmas story. Wow, how we just shrink back. If somebody tells us you can't do that, people just shrink back in fear. So sad. Number five, and thank you so much, Jay Sekulow, for presenting these. Daryl, a vocal Christian worker in a large office, is being harassed, targeted, and discriminated against for displaying a Bible verse in his office cubicle, in his little office cubicle, when others can display pictures, quotes, etc. Daryl's legal rights are being violated. Is that true or false? It's true. His legal rights are being violated when they tell him he can't have a scripture in his cubicle. He can have a scripture. And I've seen where Jay Sekulow and his team have won things in court because of this very thing. I believe one lady was displaying Jesus Loves You on her realtor's website, and they sued her, and Jay Sekulow and his team won that. So keep up the good work, my friends, and just know what your legal rights are as an American citizen. Memory verse for this week is John 6, verse 63. This is so good. It is the Spirit. It is Holy Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Oh, he's the life giver. And from the Living Translation, John 6, verse 63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. That tells me from one season to the next, all summer long, I'm watering my yard, my plants in my yard. Then they go to sleep for the winter. Some of them die because of frost, because of freezing. And I have to start it all over again. So the physical things I did last season, they amount to nothing this season. So it's right. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. The human effort accomplishes nothing. My confession for today by Rick Renner, I declare that I'm steadfast and immovable. I have a non-negotiable attitude of absolute determination to do what God has called me to do. Yeah, it's non-negotiable. I am fixed, solid, grounded, established, anchored, unwavering, permanent, and stable in my tenacity to grab hold of all that God has destined for me to accomplish with my life. I will not stop. give in, give up, or surrender to anything that tries to discourage me or to throw me off track. Boy, you have to keep your focus so clear, because every moment of every day, that enemy is trying to get you off track. He's trying to distract you. He's trying to get you off focus from that wonderful focus that you have on the Lord Jesus. So remember that. Don't stop or give in or give up or surrender to anything that tries to discourage you. Rick goes on to say, I am committed to stay in the race until I've made it all the way to the end. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And this is my verse I stand on. I have it on my windowsill in the kitchen, and I say it every day, reminding myself of my calling on this earth. Therefore, and this is from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, hallelujah. That's a wonderful verse from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. If God is for me, who can be against me? Or you in your assignment? Who can be against you in your assignment? No one, when you have your eyes focused on Jesus. And 2 Timothy 1 verse 12 says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep or guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day. Until that day when we all fly away, all fly away. Oh, glory, all fly away. God takes these things, or those things that are impossible, and makes them possible. Do you have anything impossible in your life today? Oh, with God, it's not impossible. There are some things that aren't possible in any circumstance in our own effort. So we need supernatural intervening to help get our prayers answered. If you're faced with an impossible health situation, it's going to take supernatural power to turn that diagnosis around. And you can't do it on your own. No. Your faith isn't going to get it done. Your faith is not going to get it done. There are two kinds of faith. There's a worldly faith. The world stands on. The world is supported by their faith in entertainment, their faith in news, their faith in what the climate change is doing, their faith on getting the earth green. See, they have a certain kind of faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. I don't have a faith of my own, boy. I've put it all in Jesus. And you've got to reach down into your spirit and grab hold of that Jesus faith that Holy Spirit has deposited in you. And then what do? When you know that Jesus has heard your prayer, you know that you've given it over to him, and you've reached right down and you said, Father God, I get hold of Jesus' faith in his precious name. What do? You rest. You rest. You rest in God's unfailing love and grace, and Jesus' faith will bring that miracle to pass. If you're in a financial bind, you can't see a dynamic turnaround in your own strength, your trust and faith in God's power and ability is going to bring that miracle to pass. And that's what happened in my life. In Darren, boy, when Darren came into my life, he had a huge debt. And I had a great credit score. Oh, yes, I had a great credit score. Yes. That went down, down, down. And you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Even with a bad credit score, we got a car. We got a house. I mean, so many people, it's so important to have a good credit score. Oh, it's better to have a better credit score in Jesus Christ. Your trust and faith in God's power and ability are going to get it done. We rest and we speak those things that are not as though they are, and trust and rest in God. Yesterday, I ended the broadcast with these words, "It is well with my soul," as my husband John was singing that song. Try it every day. You will like the results in your attitude. You truly will. I'm beginning to do that every day. I know Kimberly does. When I call her and I say, how are you doing? She says, oh, it is well with my soul. And thank you for praying for Kimberly and Matthew and Levi and their whole school that is in Israel this week. Oh, God bless them. There's a beautiful illustration of trusting in God and godly people. And it's found in 2 Kings 4. Fourth chapter, verse 25, 2 Kings 4, verse 25. Elisha, the prophet, had become friends with a Shunammite woman who built an extra room for him when he passed by her house. Isn't that nice? She must have been pretty wealthy. When he found out she had no children, he told her, "This time next year you will have a son." And it happened just as he said. But one day, when the boy was out in the field with his father, he cried out, "My head, my head!" And the father took him to his mother, and he died on her lap. What did she do? She didn't spend a whole lot of time grieving and wringing her hands and crying. Mm-mm. She saddled her donkey, and she went to the man who had promised that she would have a son. She knew exactly who to go to. Well, she went and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her in a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, there is the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And when Gehazi asked her that question, you know what her answer was? "It is well. It is well." Her son was lying dead in her home, and she said, "It is well." Well, she was troubled in spirit, though, because when she came to Elisha, she caught hold of his feet, and Elisha knew right then. He said to his servant, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me what's going on here." Now, sometimes you can discern what's going on by the attitude of the people around you, or even the atmosphere of a place where you're going into, where you're walking into. You can tell by a spirit of discernment what's going on, but sometimes you can't. And Elisha at this point did not know what was going on. And then he said, "Oh," and then she said to him, "Did I ask for a son from my Lord?" "No, I didn't. I didn't ask for a son from you. And did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins," because he knew she was in a situation where she didn't know if she wanted to believe in the prophet anymore. Her son was dead. So he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go on your way. Hurry. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him. And lay my staff on the lad's face." Remember, the staff sometimes contained the anointing of God, as in Moses' case. Well, the mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you, Elisha. I'm not going with your servant. I'm staying right here until you go." I loved her persistence. I really do. And he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face. But there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, "The lad has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead. He was dead. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his hands on the child's hands. How many of you would feel comfortable to do that? I pray that some of you will do some unorthodox things to see people healed by the very hand of God. Because sometimes that happens. I remember one of the old time, either Smith Wigglesworth or, I don't know if it was E.W. Kenyon. I believe it was Wigglesworth. The baby was dead. He kicked the baby. He kicked the baby like you kick a football right out into the audience. That baby woke up and cried. So sometimes you're going to do an unorthodox thing that people say, "Oh, no, you don't want to do that." Yep, you do. You do. And so he stretched himself out on this child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth, went up and stretched himself on him again. Now, his flesh was warm. It's kind of like in Ezekiel 37, when Ezekiel saw the dry bones and they all started clattering together, but there was no life in them, no life at all, until the second time he said to Holy Spirit, "Come from the north, east, south, and west." So here's the same kind of situation. And the lad, he stretched himself on the boy again. The lad sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she came in to him, he said, "Take up your son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Oh, did this woman have faith? She knew who to go to. She knew the man of God would do something. And he had the faith to see her son rise from the dead. And that, she believed. She believed in the God of the universe. Wow, that's a beautiful, that's a beautiful testimony in an old covenant situation. Now it's a new covenant. Jesus happened between the Old Testament law and the rules and the New Testament cleansing and living by the blood of Jesus Christ. Things have changed when it comes to faith. It was the faith of the man of God for the woman in 2 Kings 2. And now it is the faith in the one who lives in you. In him you live and move and have your being. So now we depend on Jesus' faith. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I don't live. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. No longer my faith. No longer your faith, my friend. As good as you might know all these verses and everything, it's no longer by your faith, but by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. All the things that I have held dear, the vanities that whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappeared? Riches and fame and all that they could buy. I've come to find they never satisfy. What could I gain if my soul's the price? I don't want to love what the world loves. I don't want to chase what the world does. I only want you. I only want you. First things first, I seek your will, not my own. Surrender all my wants to you. Keep the first thing first to live your truth. Walk your ways. Set my eyes, Lord. I fix my face on you. First things first. Here's Consumed by Fire.
All the things that I've held dear, the vanities that whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappeared? Riches and fame and all that they could buy, I've come to find they never satisfy. What would I gain if my soul's the prize? I don't wanna love what the world loves. I don't wanna chase what the world does. I only want you. I only want you. First things first, I seek your will, not my own. Surrender all my wants to you. Keep the first thing. Kingdom's all I wanna see.
desires. All my desires are your desires, Lord. Oh, I want to go back to Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ for just a minute before we leave today. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and in my own effort, working my head off to please God. Oh, how we do that. And it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman, so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. Oh, I want you to know that, friend. First things first, get your things in priority. Get your things straight, and God's going to work it out for you. He's got such a wonderful, magnificent plan for your life. He truly does. Oh, God bless you and keep you. And I want you to know that His joy is going to overflow in you. So take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.